The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
This is the sound of common sense defending freedom. The Morning Blaze.
We have a problem. We have a major problem, and we are simply not going to be able to build that wall because of this huge, huge problem. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I'm just shocked throughout the entire campaign that nobody even thought of this, that this didn't even cross anybody's mind.
It's serious. I mean, it's no laughing matter.
How are you going to build a wall? How are you going to do this?
You can't now, obviously.
Right. Now that I wish I had known this, there would have been a lot fewer people voting for Donald Trump.
Seriously. It's
all right. This has just come to light. Again, shockingly. Were the voices out there and we didn't listen?
I mean, I don't know if it was just kind of buried amongst all the, you know, campaign hoopla.
See, that's what I'm thinking it was. I'm thinking the voices were out there and we didn't listen. That's incredible to me that we wouldn't get such a significant bit of information. Let me share it with you. On MSNBC, I think it was. Yes, MSNBC. Jeff Corwin. You know who Jeff Corwin is?
He's a nature guy, right?
Okay. Because I only vaguely kind of, I think I've seen him like shaking snakes and putting his head in alligators' mouths.
Yeah,
and
he's like the new version of the crocodile hunter guy.
Right, but with less personality.
Yeah, much
less personality. He's basically just a guy who's doing things you shouldn't do.
Yes.
And then saying, no, I'm doing it to show you what not to do to save lives.
Exactly.
When he's really just trying to be famous.
Yes.
For this stuff. Okay.
Yes.
But supposedly an educated man. He's on MSNBC. And he started talking about Donald Trump's wall. Now, hold on a second. He's a nature guy.
Yes.
With a nature show.
Yes, obviously.
He's not an engineer in expertise in wall building.
Not that I would think.
Not
but,
an immigration
you know,
expert.
The wall touches the ground. The ground is nature, so.
Oh, maybe that's it. Let's listen.
To actually construct a impenetrable wall that goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific.
Hold on, stop that 1 second here. Impenetrable wall? Is the wall going to be something that will not be able to be penetrated?
In theory.
Not that way, Chris Cruz.
In theory, you know, solid wall.
I mean,
except where there's openings.
Nothing will, because Donald Trump said there'll be some doors in the wall.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, where the crossings are, the border crossings.
I mean, I wish it was impenetrable.
I mean, you need a door
not
somewhere.
That way, Chris.
You need a door somewhere, you know.
Right. I mean, I wish we wouldn't be able to, we'd be able to control. But okay, back it up again. Here he is. Starts off with impenetrable wall.
To actually construct a impenetrable wall that goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific, that literally cuts through Central America, blocking off the natural pathways.
Pause.
Wait, from the Atlantic to the Pacific? Wouldn't that be?
It would be Atlantic to Pacific if the wall is along our southern border, but it wouldn't cut through Central America.
Okay.
It would cut through North America.
Yeah,
because even if you put it 4 miles on the other side of the border in Mexico, Mexico is part of, quick, go back to seventh grade geography class, North America.
That's true.
You idiot.
Well, he is a specialist.
A specialist in sticking his head in alligators' mouths or something like this, or his hand up a zebra's ass. I don't know, but it's North America. You don't know that that's...
Yes.
I learned in seventh grade. Here we go.
The Atlantic to the Pacific that literally cuts through Central America, blocking...
I'm sorry, I just had to do that again.
...blocking off the natural pathways that animals move for migration, either to get to natural resources like food or water, or to migrate because of seasonality.
Hold on. So his concern isn't the people
we're
cutting off. It's not that we're cutting off people from getting food. And I mean, as much as I believe we have to control our border, as much as I believe we need to make sure that we have 100% control, and I don't buy into people just want a better way of life, so therefore we must bankrupt and kill America, mm-hmm. destroying all hope of all people in the future, I still recognize people are suffering and there are things we need to do. So people are still top of my list, even those people that I supposedly hate and want to keep out. His concern is...
the iguanas.
Iguanas migrating.
Birds can fly over.
Wait a minute. I don't care if the iguana wants a better way of life or not. Damn it, you stay in Mexico.
He needs to get in line, okay? If the iguana wants to come into the country, he needs to get in line like everybody else.
And where does the line start? In America? No.
Starts in Mexico,
in the middle of Central America.
Okay.
For migration, either to get to natural resources like food or water, or to migrate because of seasonality. For example, there are hundreds of bird species that migrate during...
Hold it. Flag in the play.
I think I know what you're going to say.
The wall would stop the hundreds of
bird species
from walking across the desert into America. I mean...
Last time I checked,
yeah.
Birds have these flappy things. These flappy things that when they flap...
Like fat? Like
really fast.
Skin where they've lost a bunch of weight?
No, there's these things on the side with feathers on them, and when they flap them real fast, they tend to fly.
Yeah, yes, but they can't fly over a wall.
I mean, is the wall infinitely going up into the sky?
No, I mean,
okay,
it'll be
so,
like,
yeah, I think
like
pretty
10, 20 whatever feet high.
Eventually they'll get to a
height.
Birds
can't fly that high.
And they can get over the wall. Excuse me, pardon me.
Obviously...
I mean, unless they're like turkeys or chickens, but otherwise...
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
No, they can't.
Birds cannot fly over like 10, 20 feet.
Yes, they can.
Like, I've been in my backyard, and there's like a 5-foot fence, and no birds come in there. I mean,
that's just because they don't like you, but otherwise, I'm sure.
So you're telling me some birds can fly over 10 feet high?
All birds.
Wow, that seems weird.
Well, okay, not turkeys and chickens again, but...
Chickens might be able to vault that wall too.
I think so too. I'm gonna say 97% of birds can fly.
Let me get this straight. The guy who does not remember seventh grade geography class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give him a pass. He missed.
And this guy's
a
nature expert.
Right, exactly. If he's saying, listen, let me tell you about the H-1B visa program, and he doesn't know all the details, I'll say, well,
you're a bird guy. You're an animal guy.
Right, he's a guy who rubs down, you know, chickens and knows about animal husbandry and whatever else he knows out in that little program. Right?
Yeah.
But he shouldn't know about that. Or I would say, listen... He says we can't construct a wall. Well, we can. He's obvious. Oh, he's not a construction expert.
Yeah,
he's not an engineer.
No.
But your field of expertise is nature, and you're concerned about migrating animals and don't know that birds can...
fly over a wall.
Well, okay, then. This is the kind of nonsense we have.
I'm gonna hold that whole expertise thing in question for
now. Oh, that's still in reserve. All right, bag it up. Let's listen. Jeff Corwin, ladies and gentlemen.
Or to migrate because of seasonality. For example, there are hundreds of bird species that migrate during the winter months. They head to Central and South America for refuge, where it's warmer. Animals moving for reproductive reasons. The impact will be absolutely huge. And never have we ever attempted to completely block off this natural causeway that connects life between two significant land masses on our planet.
We have stretches that have the full wall,
mm-hmm.
that have a wall, so we have cut those things off. Never, I mean, completely Pacific to Atlantic, but we have done that. So as long as you leave one little peephole or something or one little gate, you're okay?
I'm sure the animals will figure a way around.
All right.
Maybe they can burrow.
Burrow.
Maybe they can hitch a ride with the birds that don't fly over, but do.
Mm-hmm. A little more from Jeff Corwin now.
Now, Vlad mentioned that a significant portion of the border, there's a wall already, about 40% of the border, I think, there's a wall already. Did we see an impact when that wall was put up, when those portions were put up?
We have seen impacts of walls. I've actually seen photos of wildlife that literally comes to a stopping point with a chain link fence or a cement wall in front of them. But eventually that wildlife can skirt around it, or over time that wildlife can adapt. But in the short term...
Wait a minute! Am I the only one who caught that? That they will adapt? He just said they'll adapt!
He said eventually they will adapt.
Even the birds that can't fly over it?
The birds that can't fly but do, you know.
Is he drunk? Did he have some sort of episode? Should there be a disclaimer like, don't pay attention to any of this crap. This guy's off his rocker. This guy had a breakdown recently. He's a big drinker. What?
A crocodile bit him in the head and he hasn't really been the same ever since.
Seriously, right. So he admits they will adapt a little more. Puzzling.
We have seen impacts of walls. I've actually seen photos of wildlife that literally comes to a stopping point with a chain link fence or a cement wall in front of them. But eventually that wildlife can skirt around it, or over time that wildlife can adapt. But in the short term, they can't adapt. These animals are hardwired. They're instinctively driven to follow these natural pathways that their species have been doing for millions of years. So when we look at the greater impact that this will have, will be incredibly profound. And when you take what this administration is doing with the construction of this wall, then you mix it with their denial, dark age view of climate change, and then how they're basically castrating the EPA through defunding and deregulation, it is as if they're waging an all-out war against wildlife and habitat, which, Vlad and Emery, these are...
It's almost like he has an agenda.
Almost.
And all of this stuff is just BS. It's almost like that.
Almost, you know, but he's...
We talk about... people who want a better way of life and suffering. Have you seen the trains?
Trains? I have seen trains.
No, I mean in Mexico, headed north. Have you seen those in Central America, South America, even in the trains of people?
Is that the one
migrating?
Where there's people on the roofs?
Right, have you seen those?
Yes.
That, when you see the trains like that with all of the birds sitting on top of the trains.
That's not birds.
With all of their... You haven't seen the ones with the birds?
No, I haven't seen the ones with the birds.
You haven't seen them on top with...
Birds
with
their belongings, all their bird luggage.
Their bird luggage. They've got that stick with the bag at the end.
With
the rag that holds the bag ball with all of their stuff at the end. And they play in the harmonica up there on their way into America.
Again.
It's horrible life for those birds. I mean, their migratory patterns have changed from flying to on top of a train. Have you seen them tunneling under?
No.
The birds building the tunnels, digging under. I mean, some of them, sure, are drug mules. You know, and some
bird
of them
drug
are,
mules?
Yeah, some of the birds are coyotes smuggling other birds in and getting paid. And they're nefarious characters. But, I mean, they're just trying to get in here for that better way of life.
You know, birds deserve a better way of life, too.
You know, they get here, and then what with the anchor eggs?
The anchor eggs.
Well, they hatch the eggs
and then
to anchor them to America.
Exactly.
You know, those birds that can't fly over the wall.
You can't send those birds back now.
Or you can't. What are you going to do? They're American.
You're going to break up a bird family?
Right, exactly. So you got the little
hatchlings
there. They're in America.
They're going to college.
We're going to have to take care of them then. Meanwhile, Daddy Bird is, back in Central America, the middle of Mexico there.
Can't do that.
You know, and we have to take care of it. But remember, Supreme Court said those birds, you have to give them an education if they're here.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It's a difficult thing, difficult task. Jeff Corwin, thank you for your insight this morning. And by insight, I mean content. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Mentioned the H-1B program. Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order dealing with the H-1B program as well as something else. It's his Buy American, Hire American program. So the first part of it has to do with the H-1B program. That's the visa program that allows American companies to hire graduate-level workers from other countries in fields like IT, engineering, math, science, these type of things. And the way it works now, every year on April 1st, they set a fresh cap for the number of H-1B visas applications, and that's set by ICE. Under the current systems, all of those applications are thrown into a hopper and supposedly randomly selected in a lottery.
Right.
Do you think it's really random?
I don't know, but I actually know a guy who won that. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, they do pick a lot. I think the number is usually like 80,000 or some huge number. But you don't think you could get some influence?
What do you mean? Think I could?
If somebody, if you had enough, big enough company, big enough money.
I agree. Yeah.
So it's supposed to be random. Trump said he wants to change that system, the lottery system, replace it with some sort of merit-based program, but they haven't said specifically what yet. So they're targeting the H-1B program. The visa program is broken in America.
It's definitely too complicated and too difficult.
Because there's all different levels of visas.
Yeah.
And it's not as simple. You know how they say, well, you marry somebody and then you can become an American citizen?
It's not that simple.
Still, the process is huge.
It's huge.
And the visa programs, even this one, it's designed so we get the best workers in America. You know, the cream rises to the top. We want the best, and that's right. Awesome. But really all they're doing with this system is saying we want to hire cheaper workers.
Well, the H-1,
that's how it is.
Yeah.
And these companies who supposedly are in it for America and blah, 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 I get that you're trying to do it cheaper, but how come you're not investing in American kids?
That would be more,
right.
You know,
which
admirable.
I'm a free market guy that says, fine, go out and hire the best talent that's the cheapest and you factor it all in. But they also have special advantages because they live in and operate their company in America. Mm-hmm. And then they get to manipulate the H-1B visa program. So it's not as simple. Either we go free market and say the cream rise to the top and let these companies do what they want, or we fix the visa program.
Agreed. I think it's definitely, it at least needs to be simplified.
Now, there's also going to be, as part of Trump's, so that part, I get that he's going after that, and that's probably a good thing. But I think it should be, you know, let's look at immigration in total and the visa program and who legally immigrates. Three systems. How do we deal with the illegals, securing the border, and the legal immigration system? Not in that order.
Right.
But the other part of his Buy American, Hire American is going to look at federal agencies and how the procurement process works. When they buy pens and desks and everything, that you would have to buy American first.
Right.
This is much like Trump's ideas about tariffs.
Okay.
It is so amazingly simplistic to say Buy American.
Easier said than done, you mean?
Right. There are so many moving parts to buying American. The idea, the concept of buying American is tremendous. To put it into practice, really, really difficult and naive.
Are you talking about supplies and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why would it be difficult to buy an American desk versus a Chinese desk?
Because, well, first of all, is it an American company or is it made in America?
Well, wouldn't it, if it's made in America, still benefit America?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, for example, for years, people would say, buy an American car, buy a Chevy or a Ford. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're assembled in Mexico.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
But you buy the Hondas, they're made in Ohio.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
So, American company, American made.
Right.
Okay? Even if it's American made. So, the federal government would say, you have to buy American first. What if the Chinese company is one-tenth of the price, exact same quality?
Well, then you're forcing them. Then it's not capitalism if you're...
Right. And we taxpayers are paying the bill either way. So what's the real benefit? Having that job in America or paying one-tenth in our tax dollars?
I know. Are you
so
helping America?
I don't know which it is.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
so there's
it's
that.
It's a complicated.
Then what percentage of it is made in America? I mean, there's so many variables that go into this. It's simplistic to say buy American. If you can actually do it and you keep those jobs, fine. But I'm also a free market a guy. If the American companies cannot compete, they shouldn't be around or compete. Now, having said that, of course, we have to be able to compete in spite of the fact that other companies, countries subsidize their countries, their companies. Countries subsidize their companies. We still have to win in spite of that. Right? I mean, those are things we have to do. We have to be able to compete. And the way we do that is to have a freer country. That's the one thing that other countries can't compete. To have a free country with less government, less rules, less regulations, better tax structure, better economy. Then we have an advantage that outweighs the subsidies they give to those companies.
True. You're right.
And what is the one thing we've done? Cut our one advantage.
Right. More regulation, more government, more problems.
So I applaud the president for his attempt.
Right. And his mind's in the right place.
Absolutely. Mind and heart in the right place, but there's a lot more to it. If you really want people to buy American, then you get the F out of the way.
Exactly.
Get the F out of the way of these companies and let them flourish. Less regulations, less taxes. You put that into place and you won't have to encourage people to buy American. They'll be lining up. They'll walk a mile to buy American because it'll be better quality and cheaper.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Breaking news, Aaron Hernandez has committed suicide.
The yes. the former Patriot who was convicted of killing a dude?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't following the story a whole lot. I remember the blurbs in it because it was beyond sports, and I'm not the biggest sports fan anymore.
Reports are coming out saying that he hung himself on the cell with the bed sheets.
And how did he kill somebody?
With a gun.
He was like, I think it was at a club or something, and he was a New England Patriot. He's got all these tattoos, and he's been in a lot of shady stuff. He was actually like, I don't know if he was charged, but it was rumored to kill a few people. But this one, they had evidence that showed him, pointed to him killing some guy at a club, or he found him afterwards or something and killed him, It was a big trial last year.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
Yeah. So according to the news right now, Hernandez was discovered by correction officers hanging in the cell at the correction center in Shirley, Massachusetts at 3 a.m. So wow, about a couple hours ago.
I just feel bad that anybody going through anything like that. Not that he didn't bring it upon himself or was innocent or anything. I'm just saying it always sucks.
I think they tried to get him on a few other ones, but they couldn't.
The only thing that they got him on, I believe, was on the gun charge.
Yeah.
Everything else, he was able to get off.
This last one,
gun charge, yeah.
Meanwhile, Ray Lewis still walks free, just so you know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ray Lewis is fine. Any comments on Ray Lewis today?
Not that I know of.
Shady-ass character. All right. Hey, let's get some tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today. Trailer Park Aaron at Doc Thompson Show. We have animals crossing our borders at all hours. Will animal sanctuary cities be defunded? I know they should.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need sanctuary cities for animals.
No, we know. And you got the blah, blah, blah.
Love the blah, blah, blah.
Some say the U.S. visa program will be replaced with a new MasterCard program.
I hope it is. I really do. Anything that makes it better.
Yeah.
MasterCard is a fine service.
American Express.
I do that. I do some sort of a Discover.
Discover?
Program something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's old, but Diners Club, if it works.
Oh, that's a good one,
too. I mean, I'm open.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Here's one from Kool-Aid. What I learned today, apparently migrant workers are the same as migrant animals.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
We treat them the same. Denny tweeting, check out this post on Hear Me Out. Did we check it out?
No,
is
we
it
did
worth
not.
It?
We
oh,
did
we
not.
Need to check that out.
Next break, I'll
we'll
check
do,
it
okay.
out. Yeah.
JR15 tweeted, I will miss you, ruby-breasted, three-eyed, migratory egrets.
Download the Hear Me Out app and send some in audio ones today as well. It's Hear Me Out. Download that, and we'll be using that even more in the future. Let's see here. Kool-Aid has another one. So Corwin really is just pointing out that we have an illegal animal immigration problem as well.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And by the way, at the Blaze Keith is now a Twitter account.
Who?
At the Blaze Keith.
What?
Yeah, follow at the Blaze Keith. Keith, you hear him here every so often. He's the guy who tells Glenn Beck what to say on the air.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but...
Glenn doesn't come up with that stuff himself. He has like 14 people around here.
He
I
does.
Think Keith is the main guy.
I think Keith does all the writing, like the smart writing that makes Glenn who Glenn is.
Right.
Comes from Keith.
Right. He's the one who wires Glenn into the chair every day.
Yes, exactly.
And puts the coin in the slot.
Yep.
And then cranks the big key in the back and winds him up.
And then gives him a shock when he says something
and
wrong.
And does that. He's the one who pulls the strings that keeps the arms
moving. He's always
moving.
On top of the set.
Does he run the arms on the animatronic?
The arm is run by the worker bees.
Oh, okay. No,
he just runs the brain.
Oh, gotcha. He has that. Okay.
Yeah.
He's married to At the Blaze Carrie.
Yes, exactly, which you hear every so often. Or whom you hear
she comes
so
on
often,
with here.
So. At the Blaze Keith, you want to follow him as well. All right. Speaking of sports... You knew who James Cracknell is, right? James
Cracknell.
Yeah.
He's that Olympic winning
Olympics.
Pole vaulter?
No.
No?
No. He's in the Olympics, I think.
Gymnastics?
No.
Swimming?
No.
Water polo?
No.
Oh, then
we're not going to go through all of them. Rower.
That was my
I was close. I was close.
I said water polo. It's in the water.
Why is that even an Olympic sport? But okay. Anyways. Olympic rower.
Okay.
And he's running for parliament in Britain.
Nice.
Wants to be a member of parliament. So they have him on Sky News, and they're interviewing him.
Okay.
And they're talking to him about this. And one of his big concerns, one of the reasons, his chief reason for running for parliament, is he wants to help people and tackle the obesity problem. Now,
that's good.
That's commendable, because really, like, it's a problem.
From a fat person,
right.
That's good.
Well, and
hey, you're not fat. You're big boned, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I'm not so sure. I think you might be fat. No,
just trying to make the guy feel better. Jeez.
The truth lives here, man.
That
truth lives
a little
here.
Harsh, but okay.
You know, everyone says the fat American.
Yes.
It's not the fat American. It's the fat earthlings.
Not anymore.
Earthlings,
It used to be the fat American, but not anymore.
When you see fat Asians,
That's a problem.
Aside from sumo wrestlers.
That's when you know it's bad.
That's when you're like, damn, okay, something up.
The aliens are like, these guys are getting out of control. Now the Asians are fat.
Right, I think they're just getting us ready for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
They're like, I keep fattening those people up. Finally got them all. We'll harvest them soon. No, when you look at in England, they have an obesity problem, too.
Yes, they do.
So I say that because, number one, anytime you say fat American, you can say, okay, back off now, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We might be fatter, but Americans just do it better. We're going to win everything.
Even fat acidness.
Exactly. We're going to be fatter and fatter sooner than you. So anyways, this James Cracknell, former Olympic rower, running for parliament, I think in 2020, and tackling the obesity problem. And he had some thoughts that he shared on Sky News that I want to share with you. Here they are.
The child obesity program that was white paper was out and it changed massively from the white paper to what's been implemented. But there
Can
are
you pause
other
right there? Fortunately, none of that matters to the... That's not germane to the reason I'm playing this.
I feel like I need a translator. He's
speaking
English.
I don't know what he said.
But yeah, no, that's why I said, don't pay any attention to that. You're not alone. Okay, let's get
He's speaking the same language we are.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The scary part. They invented it over there, didn't they?
I think so.
They invented English.
All right, so we don't need that part. Just pick it up there. No worries.
...papers to what's been implemented. But there are other pressures going on, and the only way you can do it is either... moan about it from the outside and not try and do anything or get about and do it from the inside. And it is, if you think of the two countries in the world that have got a handle on obesity, what do you think they
hold
are?
Hold it.
Thank you,
two
sir.
Countries in the world that have a handle on obesity.
Okay,
just
all right,
think,
cool.
Just think for a moment.
Two countries.
Because remember, he's saying you got to tackle it from the inside.
Yes.
That's why he wants to run for parliament.
He said something about a motorboat in there. But
And he said, I don't think he did.
He did. He said something motorboat.
I don't think you just heard that. Anyways, tackle from the inside, not the outside. He's talking about obesity.
Yep.
And he said, think about the two countries in the world that have a handle on obesity. Here they are.
Do you know what? I'm stumped there. I don't know.
North Korea and Cuba.
North Korea and Cuba?
Wait, Cuba.
Oh, Cuba.
The
North
two countries
Korea and Cuba
that don't feed
have
babies?
A handle on obesity.
What are you laughing
well,
at?
Well, yeah,
this,
because they're starving their people.
I'm sorry, what?
Cuba and North Korea are basically, North Korea for sure, starving their people.
And Cuba for sure.
Let me ask you, how do they have a handle on obesity?
I mean, technically speaking,
there it is.
If you, I mean, if that's the, isn't that illegal?
Do they have a handle on obesity, Kel?
I gotta give it to them.
Textbook definition of yes. Okay,
Your Honor, direct him to answer the question.
Yeah, you have to answer
yes,
the question.
Yes, they have. He's right. They have a handle on it.
Wow.
There are some mitigating factors to them having a handle
on it. But
it
doesn't matter. They have to handle on obesity.
He's serious about this.
Oh, he is. If you look at the video, he is like,
right.
We need to do what they're doing.
Have you studied North Korean history the last couple of decades? In the 90s, they went through one of their biggest food shortages before the UN eventually gave them food when they threatened to blow up the world. And they literally starved to death. Not other illnesses, not diseases, not the government torturing them in prison. Those are all separate deaths.
Yeah, that's something else.
3 million plus people starved to death in North Korea.
Wow.
Were they obese?
No, they were not.
Then there it is.
So apparently the North Korea program is one dude eats all the food and everybody else starves. Handle on obesity. They only have one fat guy.
You know who doesn't have a handle on the obesity?
Who's that?
Kim Jong-un.
He's doing it for them,
no,
Cal. He's eating the food so they're not fat.
Oh, okay. So he's helping.
Have you heard of sacrifice? He's sacrificing his beauty.
That's it.
And his body.
Health.
In order to have a better country.
That's right. For all of those people, he's sacrificing.
He's sacrificing.
That's a man who loves the people.
You know, I watched that parade that he did with all the firepower that they have.
He didn't walk in that, though, did he?
No, he did not.
Yeah,
but if you look at the crowd, holy crap.
Yeah?
Nobody is like over like 100 pounds.
Oh, there it is. They got a handle on obesity.
I was like really shocked. And then I looked at one tubby, and I sent you the picture of him, and you were like, you're right. He is a little fatter than everybody else. So
right.
I don't know what is going
on. He's one
of
the top generals.
Yeah, the top general. He was a little tubby. But
right.
Everybody
he's sacrificing
else,
too.
But everybody else, it's like no Wait joke. It's like 100 pounds.
Right.
That's like pushing it.
So
it's
we all agree
diet.
They have, the North Korea diet is one dude eats all the food and everybody else starves. So you have a handle on obesity.
Wow.
They need to elect this guy.
Yeah, this James Cracknell is running for member of parliament. Let's see what else he has to say about this.
Right. See, they're quite controlling on behavioral change. So there is a place it will have to be worked and you have to get people to buy into it. And the reality is that...
Yeah, but people are starving in North Korea, aren't they? They're not obese because they haven't got any food.
Well, exactly, but there were sanctions and everything else. But the example is it's behavioral change.
Wait, what? So one of the hosts is like, wait, what? They're starving in North Korea.
At least somebody recognized.
And he goes, well, yeah.
So yeah, there's sanctions and things like that, it's a behavioral thing. That's what I can get from the translation.
Okay, the sanctions, apparently he's not understanding how that works.
No.
It's not the sanctions that are starving the people.
No.
It's the dictators that are starving the people and their flawed-ass philosophies. Because countries all over the place don't have food coming from other places and still have food.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, the sanctions are in place to actually help the people. And we've still given them food at this time. But regardless of the sanctions, he says it's behavior.
That's what
So what he's saying is the sanctions are preventing the food, but it's still behavior there.
I think he means
they're not eating dirt.
They've gotten them into a behavioral.
It's trained them.
Yes.
So you starve them long enough, and then they're just okay with starving.
Yeah,
it's a behavioral. It's a lifestyle change after being starved.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Because you're used to it now.
Hi, Doc Thompson for the North Korea diet. You need a lifestyle change. It can't be a quick fix solution. You need a lifestyle change. So under the Doc Thompson North Korea program, we starve you for decades. And once you're used to that starvation, then you can be around food and you'll normally, naturally starve yourself.
There's certain things allowed in the North Korea diet plan.
Yes.
You may have plenty of
air.
And a snack.
You can have all the air you want.
It's calorie free.
Drink it in.
And
it's also cholesterol
it's
free.
Satiating.
It's gluten free. It's food free.
It's GMO free.
GMO free.
Good.
Nutrition free.
Ooh, nice.
Food free.
Have as much air as you like, but real food, we're going to have to stop that.
Yes, exactly. You drink in all the air you want. You can enjoy your air sauteed. You can have it
broiled, grilled,
fried. You can deep fry it.
Ooh, I like deep fried. I like that one.
You can even put it on a rotisserie.
Ooh.
And by on it, I mean around a rotisserie. Drink it
tasty.
In. Eat all you want.
Try eating air at different temperatures, hot
Wait
air.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Cold
this just
air.
In. Hang on. This just in. North Korea has said no, they must limit the air now as well.
This
is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
With Doc Thompson.
If you or a loved one have experienced those feelings of frustration, isolation, and hopelessness due to ongoing symptoms of a concussion or a traumatic brain injury, stroke, if you have balance issues, dizziness, or other conditions, man, that is frustrating, but there is help. Cerebrum Health Centers may have the solutions you've been looking for. If you've been seeing doctors and you can't get the answers, please call Cerebrum Health Centers at 800-885-HOPE. 800-885-HOPE. They will set you up with a free consultation and tell you what they can do for you. Lots of members of the military have suffered through traumatic brain injuries, sustained serious concussions, and they know they're not right, and yet they can't get the help they need. Well, it is available at Cerebrum Health Centers. Now, the really exciting part is they now accept most major insurance programs. So you're all set. There's no reason you shouldn't call for that free consultation and get some answers. It's 800-885-HOPE, 800-885-HOPE, or glenbeckhope.com. Cerebrum Health Centers. I've known people who've gone to them and have gotten help through them. Cerebrum Health Centers, glenbeckhope.com. You know somebody that has come from the military and they're like, I just don't know what to do? Say, listen, go to glenbeckhope.com. Get the free consultation and finally get those answers. The frustration is huge. GlenbeckHope.com. Yesterday, a pair of Russian nuclear capable bombers flew within 100 miles of Kodiak Island, Alaska. Now, this is not uncommon for Russia to send planes into our airspace, close to our airspace.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened many, many times over the years.
Well, wasn't there a ship off the coast a couple of months back?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're always pushing. This is the first time they've done it to President Trump since he's been in office.
Okay.
Other heightened issues or military questions around the globe, it's of additional concern. The U.S. Air Force scrambled two F-22 stealth fighters and an E-3 airborne early warning plane to intercept them. They flew alongside the Russian bombers for 12 minutes, and eventually the bombers turned back. But we are being tested all over the globe right now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's pushing it. Everybody's pushing it.
The Carl Vinson is en route to North Korea. By the way, we do not have the three armadas, right? Or the three different
fleets. I think
he announced
that a little prematurely. I think they're on their way.
On their way. Yeah. Okay. We know the Carl Vinson's going to be there. I'm convinced something's going down in North Korea within the next couple of weeks or so. We're going to talk more about that and also get your headlines with At The Blaze Brad. It's all coming up.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
The sound of common sense defending freedom. The Morning Blaze.
Okay, once again, we had some breaking news that it looks like Aaron Hernandez has killed himself.
In the jail cell.
Really?
Now he's confirmed by the state troopers. Confirmed he was pronounced dead at the hospital where they took him.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, you know,
he was found guilty, right?
Of one charge. It was the carrying a weapon.
Oh, he wasn't found guilty of murder?
No. To my knowledge.
Didn't he get the murder, Cal?
I thought he did. I'm wrong. I thought he did.
Because he got a significant sentence.
Why would he kill himself for a weapons charge?
If you're going to be in jail 15 years or 20, it doesn't matter what the charge was. But
Which is kind of weird for him to it just doesn't. That makes no sense.
Cal, do you have the audio of Mike Pence still? Pull that up. I want you to hear this while we're looking at that. So day before yesterday, Mike Pence randomly shows up wearing a bomber jacket at the DMZ.
He looks hot on that.
He's wearing a bomber jacket is what bombers wore.
Right. It is pilots.
It's obviously civilians wear it too and whatever, but it has a certain swagger, right?
It does. It does.
And I don't think it was an accident that he was wearing that not. When he made that statement.
No.
And he goes to the DMZ and once again reiterates that the era of patience
is over.
Telling North Korea at the DMZ.
That's pretty ballsy.
Right. You're right there.
You're literally knocking at the door.
We're not waiting on your crap anymore. Get your crap together, right? That's what he did.
That gave me the chills right there.
Right. And they've said that several times. Then he goes to Japan and says this.
The United States of America will always seek peace. But under President Trump, the shield stands guard and the sword stands ready.
Whoa.
And those who would challenge our resolve or our readiness should know. We will defeat any attack and meet any use of conventional or nuclear weapons with an overwhelming and effective American response.
Amen.
Bitches.
Amen.
That's the only thing missing was bitches. Drop the mic.
He walked out after that.
Did he walk out?
He walked out after that.
So there was a drop.
Did he drop the mic?
Did he look as hot though as W did in that little jumpsuit with
almost as good.
Almost.
Okay. The Eagle so then he gives that speech in Japan. Yeah. The only time you give a speech like that is if somebody questions your military or if there's so they're not. I'm not saying wrong or right, but they are manufacturing this. Event. Now, maybe they have other stuff behind the scenes. They need to do this. I'm not questioning whether or not we should do it. I'm just saying some crap's going down soon, within weeks.
He did that at the USS Ronald Reagan. He was talking to all the sailors there. It was really fascinating.
All right, let's get some tweets in, and then we'll get to Brad's headlines as well. We have some with Hear Me Out.
Hernando, real quick. Suicide 5 days after he was acquitted of murdering two men in Boston, but he was still serving a life sentence without parole for murdering Odin Lloyd in North Attleboro in 2013.
Okay. So he was serving somebody else.
He was in jail for life.
They charged him a couple times.
We have Hear Me Out from the winner of Hear Me Out.
Oh, this is from me.
Two countries that have the handle on obesity are North Korea and Cuba? Dang it. I was thinking Ethiopia.
Heyo!
Good morning.
And one from Insider Denny.
What I learned today, some animals, like some people, migrate to Mexico for reproductive reasons. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
My wife, by the way, is tired of my same old joke whenever we mention Ethiopian restaurants, and I'm like, small plates. Small portions, just so you know. Tweets coming in, hashtag what I learned today. Follow at the Blaze Brad, at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, and at Doc Thompson Show.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
Here we go.
All right, this is close to your heart, Doc, out of D.C., just for you. The VA turning to the private sector to help reduce wait times for veterans.
Oh, that's good. So the VA is going to use the private sector.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they just privatize?
Well, and it gets better. They're allowing veterans with minor injuries and illnesses to seek aid at CVS Minute Clinics.
Okay. I mean, anything that helps the veterans, that's fine. But I'm saying this is like McDonald's going, okay, we're going to outsource our cheeseburger making.
I know.
You know, Carl's Jr. just gets it done better, so we're going to allow people to go to Carl's Jr.
Right.
But you still come here, and then we'll send out for the Carl's Jr.
Right.
And you just it was like the post office the other day saying, we're going to go ahead and scan all of your letters and put them in the email.
And email it to you.
What? Cut out the middleman. Only in government. They're so grasping at anything to stay relevant as opposed to just going, maybe we just shut this bitch down.
Let's go down the crazy trail. In Miami, transgender woman who suffered a broken penis when her lover had a heart attack and died during sex sues the man's wife for damages.
Cal? You want to handle
this? There's so many things that I don't...
The painful look on Cal's face as you're reading that.
First of all, broken penis. Ouch.
One sentence out of the story. Jennifer, who said she was hired by Sylvia to sleep with Miguel for his 60th birthday, appeared on Caso Cerrado in Miami to sue Sylvia for 16,000 pounds.
And that's coming up on today's Days of Our Lives.
Okay, that makes a little
more
sense. So the wife hired her. Yeah. Now I see where the lawsuit, why she's...
Right.
Now it all makes sense.
Now, of course, yes.
I'm sorry. I need to open up a spreadsheet. I need a slide rule for this. I cannot keep track of the players.
Poor choice of words.
Spreadsheet. Thank you.
Slide rule.
Oh.
Penis.
Okay, thank you. At the Blaze, a brutal beating of a twin. This is just this is another one of those what happens to our society. The brutal beating 23-year-old Detroit man recorded on Facebook Live. It's happening
again. So this
again.
Is the second one?
Yes. This happened on Sunday, and this was just a beatdown of this guy on Facebook Live.
Well, that was Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
So all you're saying is that they actually are able to use Facebook Live in Detroit, because if you're on Facebook Live in Detroit, it's likely you're going to get a beating in the background somewhere on camera. It's just going to happen because it's Detroit. Exactly.
There's not much else to do.
So, yes. By the way, did you see the guy, the Facebook killer, killed himself yesterday?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he goes to Erie, PA. Erie's about 2 hours from Cleveland. So you go straight up East I-90. And he goes, we don't know what he did during that time, but when they found him, he goes through McDonald's, orders a large chicken nugget and large fry.
Oh, yeah.
The worker bees at McDonald's, God bless them, are like, I think I've seen him somewhere, killing somebody somewhere on Facebook.
Who is he? Looks familiar.
So they call the popo, and they're like, oh, your fries are not ready. Can you just stay put and pull around?
Yeah.
just hold it right there, please.
Special batch.
And they end up catching him. The guy turns his... So Chris tells me the story. And goes, so the guy kills himself when the cops try to pull him over and confronts him. And Chris's response is, about the guy, what a little bitch.
Yeah.
Well, what you know a what little, he, what
you
a punk.
You know what he did? The best thing, what he did?
What?
Saved us all some money.
Right, he did. Yeah, and I'm glad that he didn't threaten the cops. So we're glad about it. Chris wasn't saying that.
Yeah.
But it shows what a punk-ass bitch he is.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Off to South Dakota, Christian, and another one, Christian conference threatened by Muslim man flashing firearms on Facebook Live.
Cal?
I'm sorry, because I don't condone violence on any part.
Thank you for speaking out, because that is not your religion. Those people are crazy. Yes. Okay, good. Good deal.
Your face of disappointment is priceless, too.
Yeah.
I wish you got a camera in there.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of groping, off to D.C. Woman says man groped her on United flight and attendants kept bringing him whiskeys.
Chris?
Were you on United flight last week, Chris?
No, you're supposed to go, I cannot condone.
Yeah,
even
but I do condone.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's I support the one I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm going on a flight today, so...
From Sid and Marty Croft in Lidsville, solitary consumption, 31% of marijuana users prefer using alone.
Aww. Actually, wait a minute.
Me time.
Is it?
Say, Bart.
Maybe that's good.
Yeah. Away from everybody else.
Who goes and buys the munchies?
They don't want to be accused of bogarting it? Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Uber Eats gets the munchies.
Speaking of bogarting.
Mm-hmm.
California. Maxine Waters tells MSNBC she's never called for Trump's impeachment just hours after doing that.
You misunderstood me.
What?
Taken totally out of context.
When I said impeach 45, I meant take that Glock and impeach it.
I meant get rid of the Colt 45 because it's just bad.
Or is she talking about the peach out of Georgia? Because Georgia has a lot of peaches.
Give Donald Trump a peach.
The tweet just hours before she said this was... Quote, the president is a liar, his actions are contemptible, and I'm going to fight every day until he's impeached.
But that was like 3 years ago, right?
That was yesterday.
So wait, she's tweeted it, she said it in public, but then she's never said it.
Right. We did a whole show about the failure of her.
Right, impeach 45, we did it Monday.
Yeah.
And honestly, they all do this. They say one thing, and 10 minutes later, they say something else.
Politicians are like women.
Okay.
Lots of places to go with that.
Hey-o.
No, you ever have the girlfriend, the wife, and they're telling
Which
you
one,
something.
Which one, the girlfriend or the wife?
Both.
Both.
Women. Been around women where
not
they're like...
Not in the same room at the same time.
No, yes. Of course not. Where you're like, you just said... I never said that. Oh, yeah. You just... I never did that. Tuesday!
Yeah.
You spent the... And
about
I said
like 10
don't.
Minutes ago.
Yeah. Right. You're like, we had the whole... God,
this
the
is what
argument.
I mean. This is what I mean. We don't listen to me.
Yeah.
That's
listened,
not what I
said.
That is not what I said.
And then you walk away going, I know.
That's what I said.
We talked about the chocolate cake.
And you question yourself.
And you're right. You're going,
you question yourself.
I must be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And
maybe
at the end of
I
the day,
didn't.
Maybe, and then at the end of the day, you're like, well... I guess I was wrong.
And then you split up and your friends are like, that's right, I was sleeping with her. And you're like, I knew it. She made me feel crazy. We had chocolate cake sleeping. There's a
four most important words you learn when you get married. You're absolutely right, dear.
Yes.
Oh, no wonder I got divorced.
Yeah, that's it.
See? Mm-hmm. You just learned. Mm-hmm. There's a new world's oldest woman. She lives in Jamaica.
How old?
117 years old.
Oh, there's a new
so
one. That means... The
See,
world's
the
oldest
died.
Woman has died.
She died,
yes,
last,
she
week.
Died last week. Yeah.
The world's oldest woman dies.
The advice she has, really and truly, when Again. People ask me what to eat and drink to live so long, I say to them, I eat everything except pork and chicken, and I don't drink rum and then things.
Oh, well, I'm going to die soon.
Yeah, that's a failure. I don't want to live to be 117,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Pork, that includes bacon, right?
It does.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Off to Massachusetts, machete cuts off man's hand in fight, but it gets reattached.
Oh, good.
It's a happy Where? Ending.
Where at?
Massachusetts.
Oh, here? Okay.
So, health, did you notice they blame the machete, though?
Of course, yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah. Do the machete just wake up in the it middle does. Of the night and go, I'm going to cut this guy's hand off?
Never Probably. Piss off a machete.
Yeah.
It's like a woman.
It. Same thing, exactly.
We did have a bunch of machete movies, too. So mm-hmm.
learn, a bunch of what?
I believe machete it's pronounced movies? Machete.
Okay.
Just saying.
Can't believe you'd mock him.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, English is his second language. That's how you pronounce it.
That's racist.
I saw the movie.
That's his second language, Chris. Or Cal. That's Chris's second language.
Off to Canada. Driver charged after police find suspension made from wooden logs and chicken wire.
The suspension of the car?
Yes. And there's a picture of this one, too. It's
and he got arrested?
Yeah, he apparently you cannot use logs and chicken wire.
Why not?
That's my question.
That's ingenuity right
there. That's American ingenuity in Canada.
Read it again. They pulled him over? What?
He's charged after police find suspension made from wooden logs and chicken wire. It was used to...
Doggy Jethro.
You
really got that good, Granny.
It was out
the
cement
pond. It was parked right
in the
Mr.
Drysdale.
Yeah,
that is pretty good.
They stopped him, and that's for whatever reason,
like,
they looked underneath.
Why are we stopping? Because we're not Canadians, right, but like, exactly. Why are you stopping?
Oh,
ingenuity
it's probably
like
the
that?
Chickens.
What
were
you,
there chickens were wired
chickens?
Up in it?
There, apparently, there may have been
several chickens.
I'm picturing
the car and planes, trains, and automobiles. No functioning dials.
No, not a one. Not a one.
But the radio is clear as a bell.
I don't understand it. It works great. It doesn't look like much, but she'll get you where you want to go.
You better go outside.
Not a one. Not a one.
And in Mexico, a man's body seen tossed from a plane. Is found on, this is not funny, found on the roof of a Mexican hospital. Yes, it is funny.
He was so close to being saved,
right?
He was so close.
So close, if they'd only thrown him on top of the emergency room.
If you're going to get thrown out of a plane, that is the second best place to land.
Right there.
Yeah. He was
within feet of being
now,
saved.
Can we blame the hospital because it did not get there
in
time?
I would sue the hell out of him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, their roof was obviously too hard.
Too hard.
It should have been more of a soft landing. I mean, there's just so many things.
So sad. Well, perhaps better luck next time. Right. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. Thompson.
Planned Parenthood has sent out a correspondence to help people understand consent.
Nay means nay.
Is consent really misunderstood?
Depends on what your definition of is.
I got you. Okay. Well, they say consent is as easy as fries, and that's all you need to know. It's as easy as fries.
French fries?
Like fries.
Fries are good.
The acronym FRIES.
Oh.
FRIES.
Okay.
That's how you can understand consent. FRIES. Number one, the F. Freely given. Doing something sexual with someone is a decision that should be made without pressure, force, manipulation, or while drunk or high.
What if you like it when you're drunk?
What if you like force?
Right.
But yet you're giving that, okay.
Yeah.
The R in fries, reversible. Anyone can change their mind about what they want to do at any time, even if you've done it before or in the middle of having sex.
I thought you, the other kind of reverse, never mind.
No, not positions.
Gotcha. All right.
I, informed. Be honest. For example, if someone says they'll use a condom and then don't, that's not consent.
Okay.
E, enthusiastic. So it has to be enthusiastic? You know what?
I'm so
nervous. Every married guy knows they've not gotten consent. Because there's a hell of a lot of nights it's like, all right, I've got 4 minutes.
I call it the chore.
Sure, fine, whatever. Let's get this over with. Enthusiastic. If someone isn't excited or really into it, that's not consent.
Then we're all screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Or not. And then the S, specific. Saying yes to one thing, like going to the bedroom to make out, doesn't mean they said yes to others, like oral sex.
Yeah, it does.
Fries. Understanding consent is as easy as fries.
So wait a minute. What was the F again?
Freely given.
Ah.
Yeah, that's not.
It's first of all, it's never free.
No.
Ever.
Nope, exactly.
That really puts you in the mood when you think your checklist now.
Why does Planned Parenthood need to tell people about consent? Is Planned Parenthood exclusively a female organization? Hmm. Not just for female and not only run by females.
Right. And parents can be male or female.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They do health services primarily for women.
Right, yes, they certainly do.
So those health services would be, they say breast exams. We found out they don't actually mammograms.
No.
They perform abortions.
Yes, that affects health.
What does that have to do with consent, though? I mean, you could, with consent or without, conceive, so it's irrelevant.
Right.
It's almost like this is some sort of agenda.
Yeah, it's a PR move.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to wrap themselves in some greater issue of women being victims so they can continue to get funded, pretending that they're in this for women and not for abortions. It's not about women. It's not about moms. It's not about consent. It's not about rape. It's not about any of those things.
No.
It's about abortions.
That's it.
You are providing a service.
Right.
Abortion service. So I can't help but ask, given that they simply are abortion providers, did that baby freely give informed, reversible, enthusiastic, specific consent?
Nah.
Did they inform the fetus specific information in an enthusiastic way and get an enthusiastic response that could be reversible? And did they freely say, yes, I surely want to be killed?
No, not so much.
Seems a bit hypocritical.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. Thompson.
Celebrity Chef Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the always hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Chef Patrick, how are you? It's Food Biz Pro at Food Biz Pro on Twitter. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Doc. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing okay. I saw a disturbing story that I have to ask you about, that apparently that there is some sort of potato chip shortage going on in Japan, and I think, haven't these people suffered enough?
You serious?
I mean, Fukushima and then that.
You know, as opposed to the Great Potato Famine in Ireland, this one was not caused by a blight to the potato industry. Not, at least not some sort of biological entity.
Oh, okay, good. That's at least a step in the right direction. What happened?
Now, well, they had a series of storms last summer, which kind of decimated their crops in Hokkaido, which is the main farming region of potatoes in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they only import about 15% of the potatoes used in the potato chips. And the main manufacturer, Calbee, has stopped production on about 36 different lines of potato chips.
So you're telling me normally they only import about 15% of the potatoes they use?
About 15% from the U.S. They probably import another probably 10 or 15% from elsewhere.
Because they...
But for a small...
Well, because they import...
A small country.
Yeah, I mean, you lived in Japan quite a while, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, this is my naivete. I just assume they imported more stuff because, I mean, they don't have a lot of flat land. But I know they do farming up in the mountains, like in giant steps. But I guess potatoes are easier to grow in those areas because they're underground. Mm-hmm. So that, I guess that does make sense, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, Japan is very strict about importing and exporting, especially what they consider to be protected items, rice, real Wagyu beef, things like that. On the potatoes, I'm not sure, but, you know, they're very efficient at their drilling and production methods. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't import more than 20 or 30% of what they need on a consumption basis.
So I wonder then, if they want to keep up with the potato chip demand, will they be importing more potatoes from elsewhere, like America? Are my potato chips being threatened?
Well, they tried to, but we didn't have enough production to supply what they needed. Above and beyond the original 15% they typically import, we didn't have enough potatoes to supply them. I guess
McDonald's
is really busy this year with French fries.
I don't know if you've seen Doc go through a bag of potato chips.
It's a sight.
It's scary. You if you came near it, you might lose a finger.
Dude, I work. It's a job.
Yeah. No,
I
yeah.
am. Listen, I don't get the take a potato chip and place it into your mouth.
No,
and go,
no.
That's nice.
No. He shovels. He
no,
like,
you've got it. You've
it's
got
a whole
entire...
hand into the bag
right.
and then a scoop into the mouth.
Unless your mouth is full of potato chips, what's the point? I mean, chip?
I'm not judging, Doc, because I'm kind of the same way.
Okay, there it is.
Mine is because I haven't eaten all day, and it's like 1 a.m. when the event is done.
Right.
And it's time to eat.
Yeah,
it's more of a sustenance thing than...
You got to get a whole mouthful. And there are certain breakfast cereals like that, too. You want like the biggest spoon possible, right?
It's got to be Fruit Loops.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, Patrick, I'm trying to think of some of the other substitutes for chips. I mean, obviously, you can do corn chips and stuff like that. But you've had Terra chips, right? Have you ever had those?
Oh, those are awesome.
Oh,
I love those.
I think they really started the trend of non-potato snack chips.
Or artisanal, I guess is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got like yuca, sweet potato, all these different kind of potatoes that they make into chips.
Yeah, they make taro. Taro is one of my favorites.
Those are really good. I'm trying to think what else they like turnips and stuff.
Yeah, so they do. There are taro chips. There are beet chips. Sweet potato is probably my all time favorite.
Those are awesome.
Mm-hmm. And taro, I think, makes the best ones. There are a bunch of
yuca.
You know what? I actually have. I'm looking at these chips right in front of me right now. Surprisingly, and they are handcrafted style. Carrot chips.
Carrot?
Lightly salted carrot chips. Absolutely.
Now, Patrick, are all of these made the same way? I mean, what are our options if we're going to try to make some things at home like this that are healthier in the chip? Let's say...
Can you chip anything?
Yeah.
Well,
I've seen, like, in the stores, kale chips and quinoa chips and rice chips.
Yeah, say there's a run on chips in America, like traditional chips, and we need to start making our own. What can we chip?
Well, so first and foremost, there has to be some sort of starch in there, right? In order for you to bake it or fry it, it should have starch. I was looking at this online. They have everything from recipes for beet chips, cinnamon, cardamom, carrot chips, tomato chips.
Tomato
chips? Potato. I didn't say tomato chips, which I'm thinking are probably just dried slices, right? Butternut.
Yeah, that's more of a dehydration then, right? If you're talking things like tomatoes, that's more dehydrating.
You can't really fry a slice of tomato, can you?
No, but you can bake them in the oven until they're crispy. You know, you just have to cut them paper thin.
Okay.
Taro are probably my favorite alternative. You can pineapple, apple, Brussels sprout chips. That's something I've never heard of. That sounds really pretty good.
I don't know how you cut those up. I guess that's more of like a more like the kale, like you said. Is that the?
Mm-hmm. Well, kale chips are, you know, it's funny because they're becoming the number one health. I don't know. It seems like kale and Brussels sprouts are all over every menu,
right,
in every restaurant and in every grocery store. But I'm not sure I want kale chips or Brussels sprout chips. I'm just not that healthy.
Have you had the kale chips? When they're seasoned, they're pretty good. I mean, you knowing they're healthy and they're all right. But have you priced kale chips?
By weight. Price them by weight, Doc.
You have to take out a mortgage on your house to get a mouthful.
Yeah, it's like a half an ounce 4x4 bag for $26.
I mean, you've got meth and coke dealers going, I'm getting into the kale chip business.
I'm in the wrong business.
Right.
That's right.
It is so damn expensive.
But it's not the same as a potato chip. It's like this flaky kind of like, I don't know. While we're on the subject, you know Pringles. Everybody knows Pringles, right? Is that a potato? Because it doesn't taste or feel like a potato.
Well, you know, what they do is they make kind of a mashed potato from that first. And then it's pressed out and then fried.
They grind it all down into a pulpy
like a
thing, right?
And that's why there's like 67 ingredients in Pringles instead of the three that are in traditional potato chips: sliced potatoes, oil, salt.
So so you can do all of those things. Are they all basically the same idea? You're just putting them in the oven with some oil and then some basic spices and drying them.
And some can be fried. You know, you got to watch out for the water content when you're going to fry it because of the splatter, you know, splatter factor. But they're pretty much sliced, patted,
so wait,
dry.
Why can I ask? You know, when I have a kettle, my favorite kind are like the kettle chips.
Love those.
They're really crunchy, as opposed to like regular, I don't know, flat like a Lay's or something. Tastes completely different, but they're both fried, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So what is it with the kettle?
It's probably the thickness of the chip. And the variety of the potatoes. So the higher the starch, the thicker you can cut the potato, and the crispier it will be. So,
Now, I have made sweet potato fries, and they are good but laborious. I mean, they take a long time. And even more laborious than that is plantain chips.
Yes.
Those things. If they're green enough that you can, that they don't mash and fall apart when you try to cut them, then it's like cutting concrete. You just so hard to work with, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and they are super, super starchy, so they come out really good when you fry them, but it is really laborious to try and cut and slice and dice and do everything yourself. So that's why I typically just go to the grocery store and buy what they have on the shelf.
Okay.
I'll always get to being lazy on that front.
Well, yeah, I mean, because time versus, you know, your time versus the money, and that's one of those ones that may just be cheaper to end up doing that way. Pat, I want to talk just a little bit, we're talking with our celebrity chef, Patrick Mosier, it's at FoodBizPro or FoodBizPro.com, about the food freedom movement. I know North Dakota just had some interesting issues with it as well, but this is basically it's shocking that this even has to be a moment, but it's stuff like raw milk and butter that the government doesn't control. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, this all goes back to regulations the government put in place regarding raw and unprocessed products that were typically from farms and sold to the general public. You know, unpasteurized milk, you know, fresh livestock that were harvested and just sold to the public without being inspected by the USDA.
This is so incredible. I get, and this frustrates me, I get that the government, wrong or right, I get their motivations to say, let's put some organizations in place to make sure things are healthy. But it should also come with, but if y'all want to do that raw stuff or sell it amongst yourself or whatever, just be aware, you know, our name's not on this. We didn't. Okay, good. But they've actually tried to stop it over the years, ban things.
Yeah, they have, you know, but they have tried to stop it, and there are still some things that are not allowed. But a lot of states do allow individual producers and growers to sell directly to the public. If you go to a farmer's market now, you know, you'll have your local pork rancher or pork rancher, that sounds bad, but your pig farmer, right, who will sell their harvest at the farmer's market. And there are still some regulations, mainly that the product has to be frozen.
Okay.
Even beef and lamb manufacturers and chicken as well. But, you know, that's really the only regulation. It has to be labeled and it has to be frozen. And the reason for frozen is because people, you know, and I don't blame them really, we're kind of stupid when it comes to transporting our own food home, but we don't always have a freezer bag or something to keep it cold till we get it home. And the farmer, in order for them to be allowed to sell it, they have to be able to keep it in a cold state for you to consume.
Okay.
So they make you have it frozen. But there are other things, too. There are a lot of states like, you know, Arkansas, for instance, and Texas that have these farm bills or small artisan producer bills, which allow a home cook or chef to, you know, make baked goods and sell them to the general public without a nutritional label,
good,
without any inspections, yeah, and without any tax. Well, any taxes, get it, that was a joke.
Yeah.
But, that's
nice,
where,
nice.
Restaurants make their money is in cash, but nobody pays in cash anymore, right?
Right.
But yeah, so they do allow that, and I think there's 20-something states now that allow you to do that.
Good.
I know Montana just passed, what is it, the Food Freedom Bill.
Yeah, and I think Wyoming did one, and North Dakota, I think it was, too. So, mm-hmm. Good. I'm all behind it. I'm like, I mean, just as long as people know what they're getting, you do your thing. And, it's, you know, there's transparency. Good to go.
And that's the big thing, is read the fine print. You know, that whole survival of the fittest, man, whoever could read fastest and longest apparently survived. So
what do you have recipe-wise for us at foodbizpro.com today? Foodbizpro.com. You going to post some stuff about chips or what?
I am. I'm also going to tweet out here in a few minutes some those alternative chips that I was just mentioning.
Good.
I'll put out the links to all those recipes. So
alternative chips, like alternative facts?
Exactly.
These better be good chips.
They're fake chips. Fake chips.
We're not in the business of fake chips.
Hashtag fake chips.
That's right. It's at FoodBizPro on Twitter. Please follow Patrick and FoodBizPro.com. Celebrity chef Patrick Moser. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Doc.
This is The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Please, if you would, go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384 and get their Quick Start program. It's a three-week pack for just $19.95. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory that is helping thousands of Blaze audience members and a bunch of the employees around here with their chronic pain. It has helped me with my sciatic. I have struggled with this over the years at times when I run or do different activities. Normally, I can just stretch or ride it out. But a few months back, I just couldn't get rid of it. It just, no matter how much I stretched in that, it would help it a little bit and then right back to it. I took the Relief Factor for 4 or 5 days and finally started noticing the results. And I don't have that issue anymore. It's inflammation that generally causes pain. And when you're taking those narcotics, it's just masking the pain. It's hiding it. You still have the pain. You just may not feel it as much. You're not really dealing with the root cause. And one of the coolest things is, I keep mentioning the Relief Factor around here. And every time I mention it, someone's like, oh, I tried it. It's great.
It's awesome.
I keep I think some people thinking, oh, okay. Yeah,
I think it might soon be the official pain reliever of the Morning Blaze.
It really is.
Or of the Blaze in general.
No, casually I've said to people while doing the commercial or off the air, they got to do Relief Factor commercial or whatever, and they bring up their own story. Like, I keep thinking, okay, it helped me, and I'm sure. First of all, I didn't realize that many people had chronic pain or issues. But I said it to you. You mentioned it helping with your back. Chris Cruz mentioned it helping. Obviously, Brad has endorsed the product for a while. And then Keith.
He's on it,
too. Blaze Keith. He's like, oh, yeah. He goes, I had chronic pain in my leg for years. Boom. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Michael Palka. It's like everybody I talk to around here, they're like, yes. I think what happened is around here, people tried it because they were a sponsor and we had some of the product in.
Yeah.
But it's only $19.95 for you to try yourself for a three-week pack to see if it's going to help you out. So
if you think about it, $19.95 for a 3 weeks supply, as opposed to like a painkiller that you would go through in what, like a bottle of some sort of, you know, ibuprofen or whatever, is like
right.
It's much more and it lasts you much less.
It costs you a fortune. And by the way, a lot of times those painkillers you have to keep using more and more and more. Try it today. Again, it's only $19.95 for a 3 week pack. That should be plenty for you to start seeing results. Most people see results 7 to 10 days. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com or 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Tweets coming in with the hashtag what I learned today. Red 5 standing by. When your acronym for consent is harder to remember than the definition of consent, hashtag you're doing it wrong.
Absolutely.
Right? It spells out fries, and then each letter has this long definition. Let's see. Larky Farkin tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. Other chips may be good, but nothing beats a potato chip. No one eats them to be healthy.
Nope.
That's not true.
Jared 15 tweeted here, with fried banana in studio, don't you already have a plantain chip expert?
That's a really good point.
Fried banana, where are you?
I'm going to dispute that. I think you. Some people do eat them to be healthy. I do.
You eat potato chips to be healthy?
Right. I'm failing at it, but that's my goal.
Failing horribly.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Is the sound of common sense defending freedom. The Morning Blaze.
Don't forget to download the Hear Me Out app and send us what you've learned today via the app, because we like hearing your pleasant voice as well.
We do.
And that's why you don't have to sit on the phone with us.
Exactly.
I mean, if you want, 888-900-3393.
Oh, of course.
But it's just easier. We hear your voice. If you want to tweet, absolutely. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Please follow me. At Real Chris Cruz. At Cal 79, and now the Blaze Keith. At the Blaze Keith is on the Twitter.
Well done, Keith.
Follow
well
him
done.
As well. Tweets coming in with the hashtag what I learned today. Stippling Duck says, at Cal 79 has apparently never had a fried green tomato.
I've had missing fried a treat. Green tomato. I meant like a chip. You can't fry a tomato to be like a chip.
Like a chip. I yeah. will give you that. Well, apparently you can, you but can. It's not great. Do you like the fried green tomatoes?
I wasn't that
wait, what? Wow. Wait, one more time. I'm going to give you this again.
South Carolina. We went to this really popular place, and they had their fried green tomatoes, and we had them. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't like, oh my God, these are... I was like, oh, that's all right. Yeah, I could.
I don't even know you anymore.
I could. That was okay.
I never knew him. Anyway,
that's really. All right. Slip Shift. Gotta say that one slow.
Oh.
Tweeting, why would anyone want a healthy chip? That makes no sense. It's called plausible deniability. I know in my heart of hearts it's not healthy, but I get to argue it in front of my wife when she says, why are you shoveling in chips that are going to be bad for you?
The you know, the healthy chips that are baked? I like that.
Those are a fail.
Yeah, there's like all these chemicals on them, all the stuff, and the side effects are.
They're healthy.
Not healthy.
They're
at all.
Healthy. We fried. We baked them.
We baked them.
They're just a fail. They don't get it done. But that's like the argument where my wife can have an Oreo.
No,
she'll go.
Can't.
Would you like an Oreo? And
no.
I'm like, no. And she'll take one, maybe two, and she'll eat them. She goes, that's all I need right now. And I go, are you out of your mind? She goes, you can have one. I go, no, I can't. I would rather not have one if I can't have an entire sleeve. And by that, I mean an entire aisle of Oreos.
It's like Girl Scout cookies.
What?
Double stuff.
Double stuff.
Double stuff, he said.
All right, you got Bell tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. Even when Hollywood elites plumping. I think they meant pumping. Even when Hollywood elites pumping big dollars into hashtag GO6, there will still be a runoff. Georgia, don't let them buy your vote.
Oh, that was the biggest news overnight, actually.
This is incredible. So there was a runoff election to fill Georgia's 6th congressional district seat. This is the seat formerly held by Tom Price,
mm-hmm.
who joined the Trump administration.
Yes.
Tom Price, good guy, met him years ago, fairly solid. The district is definitely red. Hollywood and the Democrats thought they were going to flip this thing.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Which was an incredible fail. I like instantly when I heard them talk about flipping it, I was like, they're not going to be able to flip this thing. What are you talking about? They pumped $8 million into it for a district that Tom normally only spent $10,000 on.
Yeah, the average price for that seat campaign race is only $10,000.
And they spent $8 million, got all the Hollywood people out yep. there to speechify.
And the GOP was diluted with 8 candidates.
Versus one Democrat.
Versus one Democrat. And the media was on your side. Because the media was like, oh, listen.
We got to flip it. Donald Trump standing against it, right?
We got to get it to John. We got to give it to John.
Ossoff.
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 Yep.
All right. So this guy gets 40, the Democrat, Ossoff, gets 48%.
Oh, hold on, Doc.
Yeah. Yeah.
48.1%.
Let's give him his due. 41%. 48.1%. But didn't get to the threshold necessary to majority. So there's going to be a runoff between him and the top Republican vote getter. Handel, is that her name?
Karen Handel.
Karen Handel. But they're still claiming victory today.
Oh, yeah. Because
he got 48%.
Look at him on the red state. He got that 48.1%.
All of the Republicans together got the 51.9%, you nimrods. What do you... But they think simply because it's a red district that they got 48. That looks like a big number. There was one Democrat. And number two, most even solid red or blue districts do not win by 15 points. You win by 3 or 4. Good luck with that. Good luck. Ossoff is just going to spend them more money. God bless them. Hey, joining us now is Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. Hey, Rachel, how are you?
I'm great, and I want y'all to know that I make great fried green tomatoes.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. That is legit.
Now,
Rachel,
what part of America do you hail in? Do you live in Chattanooga?
Chattanooga, right.
Oh, okay, that's fried green tomato country there.
Absolutely.
Karen, I would like to take your word for those fried green tomatoes, but I would have to sample them, you know.
Right, well, you're welcome anytime.
Okay, very good, very good. Karen, so first of all, what made you interested in the canine, the dogs during the Korean War and other service dogs that you'd write a book about it?
Well, I have a longstanding interest in military history. I had been taking some oral histories from veterans, and I had come across a story from a veteran who served in World War II, and he had served with a dog. And it got me really thinking about the role that dogs play in soldiers' lives, especially in wartime. And so I started researching, and that's when I came across a little blurb about these men in a small Colorado newspaper. I reached out to them, I found them, and I found their story to be absolutely incredible.
So how did it differ in the Korean War, the use of dogs? Because, I mean, I think dogs have been used in most wars, even on some limited scale, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The difference was that the Korean War has the name the Unforgotten or the Forgotten War for a reason, and that's because so little is known about it. And the same applies to the role of dogs in that war. Very little has been written about the history of dogs in the Korean War.
One of the things is talking about the Korean War. I think the reason it's forgotten is America wasn't ready to be at war again. We came off World War II. The country sacrificed greatly for four whatever years. We get through the end of the 1940s, roll into the 50s, and we're like, okay, all right, America's growing. Johnny came marching home. We're back to work. The country's doing great. People are buying homes and cars. They just didn't want to know about war, and we didn't have television to the point where you were seeing it in our homes every night like the Vietnam War. So everyone kind of looked the other way.
Absolutely. And that was the experience of these men when they returned home. There were no ticker tape parades. There was no fanfare. There was no real acknowledgement of what they had done. Worse still for them was that the military ended up abandoning these dogs that they had served with so proudly, so bravely. They were heartbroken about that, and the world just didn't seem to care.
So what jobs did the dogs do during the Korean War? Traditional duties that we would expect?
Well, these dogs in particular were sentry dogs. There had been a small, six dogs, I believe, a small group of scout dogs before them. But this unit brought close to 200 dogs with them, and they were on a sentry detail. So their job was to guard ammunition storage facilities and to guard the perimeter of the posts where the soldiers were.
What became of them?
What became of the dogs?
Yes.
Well, it's hard to say absolutely with certainty, but we do know that the Department of the Army abandoned the dogs as the men left.
So did they just leave them there, you mean?
That's, yes, yeah.
That's incredible. That's, I mean, I guess they abandon equipment at times, and I guess they viewed them as equipment at that point. It just seems shocking now, knowing how much value soldiers that develop a bond with dogs, especially coming home from war with post-traumatic stress and different things, why you wouldn't just say, hey, you want to take the dog home with you? Why wouldn't you at least do that?
Absolutely. I mean, they spent the rest of their lives wondering why that happened and looking for answers. They found, as they started to have annual reunions about 50 years after their time in Korea, they found some comfort in each other, and that they understood one another, and they understood the heartache that they had been living with for all those years. But they've never gotten any really clear answers on what happened to the dogs. I talk about it a little bit in the book. I surmise some of the dogs may have gone to the Republic of Korea Army, but it's not likely that a large number of them went. So most of them were abandoned, as the program itself was abandoned shortly after.
I'm fascinated by the programs you talk about in your book. And by the way, we're talking about Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. I'm fascinated by military history, especially the espionage and the programs that were established, where, especially during World War II, where people saying, okay, we've got to win this war. We need to come up with anything. So any harebrained scheme, they're like, we'll work on this tech. We'll have a special program that'll do this. That, you know, okay, listen, put Pete in charge of that. Come up with an idea for this. So there were all of these programs. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of programs. Some of them ended up being utilized, some not, some successful. But even with the dogs during the World War II era, where there was a special program during World War II to say, how can we utilize dogs as part of the war effort?
Right, right. And that was created by civilians and dogs, the Dogs for Defense program. And so all the dogs during World War II were donated to the war effort. It was an incredibly successful program.
Was that via the American Kennel Club?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Absolutely. And some other power players,
okay,
in kind of the dog world, dog community. And, of course, the Roosevelts themselves were huge dog lovers, so, and were 100% behind that. So
you have all these people with expertise. In this case, you have people that are close with dogs, know about dogs, maybe associated with the American Kennel Club, that said, hey, I believe dogs could play an effort in winning the war. So they meet the right people, they set up the program, and that's just another one of those. I love how that stuff comes together. Even on the other side, Rachel, in World War II, Hitler threw everything at the wall. The guy was involved in the occult. I mean, he was, again, doing everything he could to get an advantage, an angle, you know, a leg up. I'm fascinated by that.
Yes, me too. Me too. And it was amazing the success that the dog program had during World War II. And so that's why they tried to carry it through to Korea. But again, as with many things during the Korean War, it was sort of half-hearted and not fully thought out.
Really interesting story. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing. I'm going to tweet out a link to your book and your information, and hopefully people pick up a copy and read it, okay?
Well, thank you so much. And y'all come on down for those fried green tomatoes.
Listen, I may be coming through, and I'm going to have to...
Don't invite... We'll come.
You'll Rachel, I'm working on a plan. We may be on the road. We'll be broadcasting from your kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, Rachel, thanks so much. Rachel Reed, author of Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
With Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, get the tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today.
You know, when you're going to go talk to the boss man, you might want to time it out so you're back. When,
I'm back. I'm here.
Just because Chris got you.
Hey, no, I'm right here. I was there.
I know you're in there schmoozing. So you know, we're not important over here. It's just a little radio show we do. But
I have high-level things going on, man.
I know. You know, just once in a while, you know.
I don't think you realize how important I am.
Little people over here.
I don't think you realize.
I realize how much you realize how important you are.
I'm going to give you that. I'm going to go ahead and give you that. And Sullivan's in on this now, too. I'm getting the business from Sullivan.
There's a lot of people in here making comments.
Did you see the city of Berkeley's, well, you know, all the riots in Berkeley and the whole whatever. And this just keeps, by the way, those aren't getting better.
Nope.
It's not like, do you remember the fireworks 1 month ago on the door? And people are like, wow, that's horrible. Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen again.
And then last weekend, people are just duking it out in the street.
Yeah.
I mean, we're this close to Mad Max.
It's fight. Yeah, you're right. It's Thunderdome.
Right.
We are really close.
Welcome to Berkeley Thunderdome. Thunderdome. Tina Turner's going to be there with
two men enter,
hair.
One man leave.
Mel Gibson.
You have to pull out your master blaster.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, so the city of Berkeley on their website has a checklist for protesters.
Like a preparedness if you're going to go protest?
Yeah, it almost seems like they're helping out. Like, I understand if you were the city of Berkeley to put up there like, hey, y'all, if you're going to protest, don't. Or if you're going to protest, don't be violent or you're going to be arrested. Stuff like that, right?
Stuff that actually makes sense, you mean? Logic?
Right. Because remember, a city is about laws and you're supposed to enforce your laws. So the city puts up an event planning checklist. It says the Berkeley Police and City of Berkeley want to facilitate the safe expression of constitutionally protected speech. We want to work in partnership with you to hold a safe and peaceful event. The following items are things that we recommend you do to ensure a safe event. Okay. That seems odd, but...
It's good to be prepared.
If they think they can help mitigate any violence with something like that, I reluctantly say okay. It seems odd, but all right.
All depends on what's on the list.
It says, go to the City of Berkeley website, download and complete forms, and then file them at the Recreation Department.
Okay.
So your protest is part of the Recreation. Okay, all right. You got a form. Fill out that form.
Fill out the protest form.
You know, in order to express your constitutionally protected free speech.
Just register here.
Register here. Go to the website, download the form, register with the Department of...
So we know.
Right. So we get that. That seems odd. And then... it gives a list of things you should do. Contact the police department and provide the following. Number one, purpose of protest. Dates and times of event. Locations. Routes of march if planned. Estimated attendance. Organizing person or group. Number of organizers.
It's a full list there.
Remember, this is so you can protest constitutionally.
Right.
Right. Again, this is a lot of information they need to express. Again,
like, I don't suppose they're going to keep this on file or record or anything.
Right. It's like the Second Amendment. No, you can own a gun as long as you have a waiting period and fill out this form and pay this money and write all these.
Your name, Social Security, right. Where you are.
Lots of limitations to the free speech. Also, you should provide to the police department the number of organizers, how to identify the contact organizers, and how to identify them at the event, for example, with certain shirts, armbands, or hats. What will they be wearing?
So when we shoot you, we know what to look for.
Go for the leaders first. Exactly. Yes. Will they have mobile phones?
Okay. What is that relevant?
And then also at the bottom, it says, do you want a symbolic arrest? If so, where and when?
Seriously? A symbolic arrest?
Yes, that you can schedule your symbolic arrest as you protest.
No way.
I'd like the symbolic arrest when I knock over that liquor store on 7th.
Can you get the shot from this angle? And I want you to get my face screaming and crying. So
you don't understand. That was supposed to be a symbolic arrest. You're screaming at the judge, right?
Nobody said anything about macing me in the face during my symbolic arrest.
Doesn't this protest, the planning like this seem all very sterile and nice? Aren't protests like you're passionate and willing to take what comes?
Usually.
I mean, this is like, where should we meet you at the fresh s'mores? during your protest? How many people will be needing hugs and verbal affirmations? When and where will you want the back rubs to be administered?
Please list the amount of lattes needed.
How many pairs of fuzzy slippers will be needed? Approximate time we'll need to deploy the life-saving words of encouragement. You're kind of missing the point here.
The schedule of group hug.
This is how sensitive our new generation is. Where should we set up the bunny rabbit support? Animal petting stations? How many rehydrating stations will you require? Will the crying signify the end of the event or the beginning? When will the crowd get exhausted and call for the velvet line golf carts? Who will be leading the mindless chance of acceptance during the protest? How will those in need of free stuff be identified? Would you like a symbolic arraignment, trial, and punishment?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Lots of tweets coming in. Lots of them. Hashtag what I learned today. We got Stippling Duck. Everyone should begin sharing all of their illness and ache stories at Doc Thompson Show. He loves it. Hashtag relief factor.
You might have opened up a can of worms there.
Well, no, you know what it is, too? At some point in your life, you know, you'd always, most of us would think about our grandparents or aunts and uncles talking about their aches and pains. Mm-hmm. My relatives always. We'd visit them in West Virginia, and my dad would sit down, his mom and his brothers and sisters would be there, and he'd be like, so how are you doing? Well, not too good.
Go down the list.
And everyone would go back and forth. And as a kid, I was like, you idiots, what are you doing, right? That's all you have to talk about? About 8 years ago, I'm at my niece's wedding, and I hadn't seen my my one sister and my brother in a couple months. I was living in a different part of the country. So we sit down, we're eating a little dinner there, and I said to my sister, how are you doing? She goes, ah, not too good.
Uh-oh.
And I go, what's going on? She goes, well, I had this thing in my back. It wasn't, and I was like, wow, that's horrible. She goes, yeah, I went to the doctor and whatever. And I said, yeah, because I had, my sciatic was, she goes,
flaring right up?
Yeah, my brother goes, you know, I was at the doctor. I had to get my eyes checked out because whatever. And I was like, holy.
You're your parents.
We're here.
We're here.
We're the old aunts and uncles sitting around talking about our aches and pains. And you just get to a point, you're there. And I was like,
was this the sister with one eye?
No, that's not the Cyclops. That's another sister. Okay. By the way, she has some eye troubles too.
I know. That's what I was like. Is this because
not eyes trouble?
Is she overlooked the eye problem? Then I'm like, whoa.
See what you did there? Overlooked it because overlooking with the eye trouble. No, that's a sister that's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So she's around pain all day.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
Sick people. Ugh.
Yeah, she's a nurse or whatever.
We have one from Hear Me Out.
Yeah, and it's okay that I call her the Cyclops. That's since I was a kid.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
Oh, this is what I learned today.
You may have heard the word on the street that the North Koreans have a handle on obesity. Well, I'm here to tell you today that that is absolutely true, and you too can be part of the no-co diet today. You can be Slim Jong-un in no time. Results not typical. 97% of new participants die within the first 6 months.
I love that he included a disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
That is good. That is well done. Well
a nice
done,
announcer
Nathaniel.
Voice there yes, as well. Nicely
new,
done.
That's a nice radio
I like
face,
this tweet
too.
From Not Steve Cannon.
Hang on a second. That was well written, well performed. Did you notice that he had a little bit of the George Takei
yes,
going?
Yes, he did.
He almost
Hello.
Went to the, oh my. He almost had that. Well Nicely done. Done.
Well done.
Not Steve Cannon tweeted what I learned today. I just lost this place. Oh, here we go. I'd like to schedule my arrest for 2:45. I have a mani pedi at 1:45.
Wonder who he's talking about there.
Who is he talking about? Oh, he's talking about Sarah. She likes mani pedis.
Said real Chris Cruz. So.
Oh,
yeah. The Steve 42 Berkeley's hashtag snowflake protest checklist. Socialist manifesto check. Baseball bat check. Love Trump's hate sign check. So you got the socialist manifesto, baseball bat.
Yeah.
Love Trump's hate sign.
Yep.
He's a little hypocritical.
I got some sad news for you, Doc.
What happened?
Richard Simmons has been hospitalized in California.
Okay, so there is something going on with him.
Yeah.
What's he been hospitalized for?
They don't know.
Okay. I thought it was severe indigestion.
They said undisclosed location in California. That's where he is.
okay, something's going on with Dick Simmons here.
Uh-huh.
Because he was supposedly MIA, and then one of his assistants, longtime friend, compadre, manager, whatever.
Michael Catalano?
Said, no, no, he's fine. I'm not going to show him to you. He's just been in seclusion. It's like a weekend at Bernie's or something. I think
wasn't
the guy's
he being
just
held against his own will or something?
Either that or the guy's cashing the Social Security checks and he's been dead. I mean, anything, something nefarious is going on, yeah, in my opinion.
So, Richard
and, but
Simmons,
now he's been hospitalized.
He's been hospitalized.
You know what this is? What is this it? Is the movie Dave.
Is it?
There's going to be a duplicate Richard Simmons?
No, I see. I think they were leading people to believe that he was alive. Kind of a weekend. No, he's fine. Then when people all got on the trail, this guy's going, son of a gun. I can only keep this up so much longer. I need to work into, slowly, a story of him being dead.
So he gets hospitalized, and all of a sudden,
and now he's dead.
Right.
In a couple days, he's going to be dead?
You got to ease into it. You can't just say, no, no, he's fine, and then a month later go, he's dead. You got to come up with a backstory. You got to go, he's hospitalized, no one knows why.
I didn't want him to go there. We lost Aaron Hernandez today.
Killed himself.
Richard Simmons might be dead, so who's the third one?
Well, I think he's, I don't know. It's not a third one. There's no thirds with this. What are you talking about?
Didn't someone else just die recently?
I know.
I hate this. I hate this so much. I hate you guys for even bringing that up. When does the third start? When does
starts
it
starts now. It starts right now. We don't know where Richard Simmons is. Undisclosed location. The third one is after right now. We're on watch.
What if we find out that Dick Simmons is alive?
Then it stops. Then there's no third. Then
it would be the first one. Or is he the last of another one?
No, no. He's the first one. No matter what. He's the first one.
Okay. See, this is all very sketchy. Very sketchy.
Have we checked on Betty White?
No, we haven't.
Oh, gosh.
Trust me, you'd hear about it if Betty White died.
She's going to be... I love when people get the fake stories. Betty White's dead. Betty White's dead. No, she's not. She's fine. Somebody tweeted out the other day. Breaking news, Betty White is fine. Betty White is...
Barely saw another sunshine in California, 89 years old, blah, blah, blah.
Rants out loud, hashtag what I learned today. I told my wife I had a symbolic arrest when Amber magically showed up at our bachelor party in a cop gear.
Hey, which Amber?
Not that Amber. Okay. Steve Sexton tweeting at Doc Thompson Show. And based on the TV ads here, it looks like Karen Handel only spent about $150 to come in second.
Yes, she did. She literally spent pennies.
Do they mean the quality or the content or the quality or quantity of ads?
Quantity.
Or is it both?
Both, yeah. It's
he wasn't ripping on the quality. No, no, he's no. Just like, she didn't spend any.
No. You got Donna also learning after the PP story or the Pamper story. Might be better if we don't talk about fries.
After the what story?
After the Planned Parenthood.
Oh, that's right.
We can't talk about fries.
We talked
anymore.
About chips. We didn't talk about fries.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what the chips acronym is.
She's making sure she's putting it on notice, basically.
Slip Shift tweeting. That's a second one today. Nice job. Of what I learned today, K-9 Korea. I thought it was a Korean cookbook. Hey. Stuff like that right there. A tweet like that right there is pretty accurate.
That's why we
funny.
Can't have nice things.
No, it's pretty funny. It's pretty accurate there. So, you know, when I went to Korea years ago when I met my wife's family, she tells me, she goes, you know, you meet my uncles, there could be trouble.
Trouble like how? What kind
well, that's
of
what I'm saying. What the hell does that mean? She goes, you know, they're really protective. Wait. They live out by the DMZ. This is hours out in the middle of nowhere from any civilization. They have a compound out there.
I wouldn't worry so much, though.
And she's like, you know, they're very protective of me. Okay. So you're going to bring the white boy out to the middle of nowhere.
You're but not think about it. You're like a giant. I mean, most Koreans are like, what, 5 feet?
Four. Right. I'm like,
so you can take them.
I'm like Godzilla walking through their compound.
Exactly.
They're like, Mothra. Send out Mothra. So I'm like, what does that mean? She goes, no, I'm just saying, you know, they may be kind of rough on your, you know, question. You know, okay, I can deal with that. She goes, they may try to give you the business a little bit too. I go, what do you mean? You know, they may try to get you to eat some funky things.
So that's how they give you the business? Eat some funky things?
Well, you know, once it becomes good-hearted, you kind of, it's like, you know, joining a fraternity. You kind of,
right,
give the
hazing.
Guy. Hey, a little hazing, right. And I go, like, what are you talking about? She goes, I don't know. Like, maybe live octopus or something? I was like, what? She goes, you know, they eat some funky stuff. This is a conversation we had. I go, okay. She goes, I don't think they will. I'm just saying, you know.
Just maybe.
So
just prepare yourself.
I get there and everything was fine. I mean, we joked around and have nothing that. But I'm like, was she messing with me or did they take it easy on me? And then I said to her, I go, they're going to be dog? No, my family doesn't eat dog. Although on their compound, they have a whole kennel, dozens and dozens of dogs.
They have a compound?
It's a pretty big spread of property out there. And you're up near the DMZ. They claim the dogs are, you know, security. I'm like, yeah, that many dogs.
How many are we talking?
I don't know, like 15, 20.
Oh, wow. So that is a lot of dogs.
That is a kennel.
I mean, it's nice. They have a full kennel there. It's beautiful.
How many acres would you say they have?
Nah, I don't know, 20.
Okay, so that makes
sense.
Pretty
big spread. But I thought when I was leaving, I should have counted the dogs when I got there.
When you got there and when you left.
Right.
To make sure that they didn't feed you
one of them
the
wasn't
dogs.
On the dinner menu.
Right, because they weren't eating the chicken. I know that. Because they had chickens. But there's this rooster. It's early in the morning, and you know, sun's coming up or whatever, and I hear,
oh, that rooster's
like a dying
about
rooster.
To die.
Yeah, he's like 112. And I get up, and I get on my wife. I go, what was? She goes, the rooster? I said, yeah. She goes, I don't know. It's an old rooster.
It's time to
Get rid of the rooster, right?
Eat it. Put it in a nice soup.
So yeah.
Oh, you guys had it?
Have I ever had
it? No, they didn't, I'm saying.
Oh, they didn't have it? Oh.
But we had some meat. They're not killing the chicken.
Have you ever eaten rooster?
You mean chicken?
There's so many jokes in there. Cal, don't set me a shave and a haircut. Do you ever have rooster?
I'm just curious if rooster tastes different from a chicken. Like, because they're thinner.
No,
I don't think they're as meaty.
It's the same as a chicken.
Is it?
I had
who are you, Frank Costanza?
What are they?
Okay. What I want to know, who's getting together with the rooster?
I'm just curious.
Because
roosters are always
chicken,
much skinnier,
who's
you know?
Having sex with the
I'm
rooster.
Wondering if there's actual, like, a bit more meatiness or a different taste.
You know, it's just a male
to
chicken. I don't know.
I know, but I feel like it would taste different.
There's so many jokes in there.
Oh,
I just can't
God.
Say.
Is this a dollar thing, too? Is
a
this
dollar
a whole,
thing? What
this
dollar?
Is your whole dollar scheme, too? Like, are you really trying to?
Perhaps we move on before I use a euphemism for rooster that gets me in trouble. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and a whole bunch of people here around the staff, including me. A couple months ago, I started running again. The sciatic started acting up. The problem this time is, after weeks and weeks of stretching it and other painkillers, it wasn't going away like it had in the past. So Brad says to me, let's try the Relief Factor. And I'm like, yeah, okay, crazy man, sure. But I reluctantly do it because I was desperate. Took 4 to 5 days. I was skeptical. Pain started going away. Relief Factor targets the inflammation, which is the problem for most pain. Most pain is based on inflammation in the body. Narcotics usually just mask it. Relief Factor targets and eliminates the inflammation, thereby eliminating the pain. It works. Relief Factor is helping everybody around the office as well. And now you can try it. You get a quick start pack for just $19.95. Now that's enough for about 3 weeks. Normally, new users see results 7 to 10 days. You got to be on it 7 to 10 days. Hang in there, and you're going to see the results if you have chronic pain. 3 weeks for just $19.95. Try it today. If you've suffered with pain and you know that frustration where you just a couple of days in, you're just kind of clawing your face off going...
Like how you were doing a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly. Just can't get around. I got stuff to do. Try Relief Factor. Trust me, you'll love it. Call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. 800-500-8384.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned that United Airlines now flies nonstop to hospitals.
Yes, they do.
Directly.
We learned that the new North Korean diet is very effective in fighting obesity.
Oh, I'm so proud of them.
Oh, yeah.
Such a good plan to lose weight.
Yeah.
We learned Donald Trump hates birds and brown people.
Oh, yes, he does. Hateful, hateful man.
We learned a symbolic arrest when protesting means you're only symbolically protesting. And finally, we learned Kevin Kline will likely play Richard Simmons in the Lifetime original movie. Cal, spinning the dials, radio style in Dallas, Texas. Morning, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned if James Crackle gets elected into the parliament, and the British people will be introduced to the North Korean diet. Lots
AKA
of air.
No cool diet.
Plenty of air. And I learned that...
you know, they've already been introduced to the North Korean dental plan, so...
Oh, hey-o!
I'll tell you that one.
Good morning.
That's a bad British teeth joke.
I learned chicken McNuggets are the fast food of choice for homicidal maniacs. And
For some.
And next time I see a protester getting maced in the face or arrested, I'm going to wonder, was that scheduled?
Was that symbolic?
Was that real?
Possibly, maybe not. Chris Cruz, at Real Chris Cruz on Twitter. What, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
Well, we got Zach learning. Need to get into shape. Let me try a 10-year in North Korea hard labor spa and resort.
That'll get you in shape.
You're going to get in shape.
Oh, yes, you will.
That shape is hunched over with rickets, but you will be in some sort of shape.
You will be. Just a mom learning the air for food diet only works in China, dog. Not in North Korea. Air so thick and
that
chewy.
That is. You can slice off a big hunk and just yum, 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 dive right into it in China.
The Steve 42 also learning.
Yeah.
North Korea diet plan. You can eat all the dirt and stick and rocks that you want.
All of it. Just keep eating. You're good to go.
Shadow.
Hell of a plan.
Shadow also learning. Jeffy is now a campaign issue across the pond.
He is, right. He's the poster child. Let's not be like them. Let's be like this fat guy in North Korea.
Libertarian, also learning, F for feminist, R for really, uh-huh. I for insult, E for everyone, S for smarts.
Fries. That's all you need to remember.
That's
fries.
All
That's
you
how
need
you
to
know
remember.
Consent. Ah, speaking of remember, didn't get to those new numbers. I'm procrastinating. Guys. Lead with my mistakes. That's on me today. But I'll do them tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Our local food feature, Maple and Motor, coming in with burgers and fries. Maybe beer.
And I'm not here tomorrow.
Sorry about that.
That was a total accident.
What does Glenn have coming up on his program?
Top of Hour 3, David Green, founder of Hobby Lobby, comes in to talk about his new book.
Nice deal. What's Glenn wearing today?
A hashtag no-co diet t-shirt. He's going all the way.
Oh, no-co.
He's
doing
going the no-co
all
diet?
The way.
Wow, well that's done, interesting. Glenn. Wait a minute. That's quite a commitment.
Yep.
So is he chained down? Remember, the morning blaze is today. Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anya, now you go home.
He's going to look good.
I think it'll work for him.
Slim down. He's been on the Kim Jong-un diet, but this is a different one.
The no-co diet is going to work on him. I'm proud.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.